I'm WSB's Mark Arum. Depend on the WSB Breaking News Center for immediate breaking news,
severe weather alerts,
or a traffic red alert whenever and wherever they strike.
Immediately accurate
WSB.
Depend on it.
The Mark Arum Show is performed before a live studio audience.
No, I want this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue.
Welcome to the show, and a good Friday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 10:07, 7 after 10. This is the Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. I'm back after my midweek sabbatical. I took off for Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement, so I went up to Connecticut, saw my folks, and for some reason I decided to come back and work on Friday, which makes no sense. I took off Wednesday and Thursday, but I came back to work Friday. Does that make any sense to you? Like, I should have just taken today off, and then I'd have a super long weekend.
Then you roll with your parents through the weekend, through
Sunday. Well, I'm not necessarily say I was going to stay up there. I had the 2 days.
You atoned with your parents.
I atoned. And I missed the folks. So I'm back here at your beck and call on this Friday. Coming up on the program, WSB political analyst Bill Crane will join us to break down the latest in campaign 26, the ugliest campaign I've ever witnessed in my life. But the best looking comedian I've ever seen in my life joins us in studio. He is Rory Albanese. He is at the Punchline this weekend. Tickets online at punchline.com. Mr. Albanese,
yes.
Welcome to the program.
Thank
How
you
are
very
you, sir?
Much. Good.
Are you related to the Torrington Albaneses?
I don't think so. It's actually a very common last name. It's an Italian last name that means from Albania at one point or another.
Really?
Yeah, so I think that my... I've done a little research on it, and I think that somewhere around, like, you know, 1,200, some of my family came over from Albania.
From Albania.
To, like, flee, you know.
Yeah.
Flee. There's always something in Albania, there's always fleeing.
Yeah.
It's one of those places people are constantly fleeing from.
Medieval times.
You
know, crazy.
Yeah, not a good, those were not, those were not sweet times. Those
yet,
were good
yet
times.
We'll pay $45 to go to medieval times and watch. You ever been to one of those places?
Yes, I have. I was there when I was a kid, and then I went, ironically, once as an adult.
Yeah.
And, I would say the kid experience was more enjoyable.
Oh, as a kid, there's nothing better.
So cool.
You get to eat with your hands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They like frown upon utensils. It's all you can dream about as a child.
And now, but now as an adult, you're right. I've been back. It's a fun experience.
It's a fun thing.
But it's not. I shoplifted the first thing in my life at Medieval Times in Orlando, Florida when I was 12 years old. Statue of limitations has passed, right? Yeah.
I think so. I think
so they had these pewter mugs.
I like that you tell the story and then a knight comes in he arrests you.
Where is it? Yeah. So they had these pewter mugs that they would pour the Coke into.
Yes.
And it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I was like, a pewter mug?
Yeah.
And I was like, I had never
you got out
any,
with it?
I got out with it.
Wow.
I think my mom even helped me. She's
do you know
like,
that
it in my purse.
I once in high school, we this sounds silly because it was high school, but we used to like, we all had fake IDs even in high school, and we there was a TGI Fridays in my hometown, and we would go there and use our fake IDs and drink these big yards of beer, and I stole a yard glass, and then like a month later, for some reason, my dad, this probably happened once in my life as a teenager, that my dad's like, why don't you and I get dinner? And I was like, okay, that's weird. And then we went to Fridays, and the waitress came over to the table with my dad there. I was like, were you here about 3 weeks ago and stole a yard pint glass? I was like, that can't possibly be. I can't drink
it.
Like, she was calling me out in front of my dad. And then she walked away. My dad was like, did that happen? I'm like, no, I don't know what she's talking about. I was like, oh my God. She not only remembered me.
That's crazy.
But actually knew that I stole the glass.
TGI Fridays. They don't mess around.
They don't mess around.
Where are you from? Where'd you go?
I'm from Long Island, Raffles Center, New York. Yeah. Town as Amy Schumer and Dave Attell. Very comedy friendly town.
Are they both from there?
Yeah, both
my
from
grandmother
there.
Was lived in Oceanside for years.
It's town next door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Drive through there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd Rockville Center was nice.
Yeah.
And they'd drive in Oceanside, and all of a sudden you'd catch the whiff of, I don't know what was going
well,
on.
Well, there was
the sound the or whiff.
No, there used to be a big garbage dump.
Yeah,
on the way
exactly
to Long Beach in Oceanside. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that no longer there?
It's now a landfill that was it stopped using. So now it just looks like a big green hill.
It's
you know, nobody realized it's
what's
buried. Yeah, it was stinky.
So did you come up with Schumer and those guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, Amy's younger than... I actually was good friends with Amy's older brother,
yeah.
Who's now playing music for her on the road. And And so I knew Amy since she's a kid, but I haven't really, you know, her comedy career. It's funny, she when she first started doing it, I was working at the Daily Show at the time. I was doing a little bit of stand up, but she would call me and ask me some stuff. I like didn't really have much to tell her. You know, I always feel like I'm like, oh man, I really let her down. I didn't help her, and it turned out she did fine.
You stayed out of her way.
She did all right. Yeah. So that's whenever people ask me for advice, I'm like, you may be better off without my advice.
Well, she's in town tonight.
Yeah.
And I decided.
Yeah, I think is it tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah, Phillips. Yeah. No pressure.
Yeah,
for you.
I actually texted her and I was like, "Hey, I apologize in advance. I'm at the Punchline for those 300 people I'm taking out of the stadium."
But I'm a fan of hers. But I didn't want to go see her at an arena. Does that make sense?
It does. I think arena comedy shows are tough. I mean, again, I'm not knocking it. It's amazing, and she deserves it. Yeah. I mean, believe me, she's incredible. But you know, there's something about comedy there's an intimate experience with it that's kind of fun, and it feels more like, you know, when you're in an arena, you just feel a little bit less connected from what's happening. You know,
well, for the record, I chose you at the Punchline.
Oh, very good.
Over Amy Schumer.
Yeah. I realized, I'm like, why are we talking about it? Amy's doing fine. You guys need to come to the Punchline. I'm the guy.
But I saw Louis C.K. was in town a month or two ago, and I saw him at the Fox Theater, which is probably the biggest venue I want to see a comedian perform.
Yeah, theaters are perfect for a guy like Louis or Amy, because it feels like you're still getting the show, but you don't feel that far away from the action.
There's that level of intimacy.
It's like a band can fill an arena, but a comic, you know, but a lot of comics are doing stadiums now. Like, it's just the thing.
It's not me.
Bill Burr did MSG. Amy did MSG. I mean, it's awesome.
I had tickets to the MSG show with Schumer, and I declined. Yeah. I was like, it's not intimate enough for me.
Yeah.
I want the coziness.
Yeah.
I will be at the Punchline Saturday.
Awesome.
Tickets available online at punchline.com. Rory Albanese in studio on the Mark Arum Show. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So before we got on the air, we were talking about a career hurdle in your life, but apparently worked out okay. You were on the Comedy Central show with Larry.
Yes,
the nightly show.
Yeah.
And that got ceremoniously dumped. What happened there?
I don't know. You know, it was a really fun experience for me because I came up through the Daily Show. I started the Daily Show as a PA. And I always wanted to perform and do stand-up full-time. But, you know, I come from working people.
Yeah.
Where you, like, work, you know?
Sure.
And, my parents aren't... My dad particularly is not the kind of guy you come out of college and go, oh, now I'm going to tell jokes. Like, it's not really an option, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then, so I got a job, because he's, like, a real get-a-job kind of guy. So I got a job at the Daily Show as a production assistant before anyone knew what it was. And I, like, worked my way through that whole show. And ultimately,
what year was that?
I started in '99, right after Jon Stewart, and then I ended up ultimately being the executive producer, which was really cool. But it turned out when I got to that top spot, after having like spent, you know, I was there 14 years, so I would say the first 9 years sort of shoveling coal in the furnace, so to speak. I was like, you know, this isn't what I want to do. I want to perform. I want to be doing stand up full time, and I'm working 12 hours a day here. I can't ever get out the club.
No time to go.
Yeah, so I left, and I was doing, you know, stand up. Semi-full-time, because I was like writing a pilot and other things. And then Jon Stewart called me and was like, you want to run this other show? And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I just left your show, you know? And then he was like, well, it's Larry Wilmore. I'm like, well, I love Larry. And he's like, and I want you to be on it. He was like, you can be the token white guy on this.
So you had not been on
No, I was never on The Daily Show. So it was a good opportunity for me
absolutely.
To like flex that muscle I was trying to do. So putting it together was really fun. And it took a little while to get it, I think, to a place where people... were digging it, and rightfully so. It wasn't as strong. Towards the end, it got really funny and really good.
I apologize because I'm on the air from 10 to midnight.
Yeah,
so
don't worry about it.
But to be fair, I haven't watched The Daily Show in years. And that used to be, that was my dream job. I wanted to write for The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, up until my last contract here, I had that as an out clause.
Really?
Yeah, like I can break this contract to go work at Comedy Central.
Oh,
was the out clause. And I'm too lazy to ever do anything to
actually
fulfill that dream, because I'm just, you know, you get into a comfort level and you're
of course.
Yeah, but that
those writing jobs are less not to say that they're not fun and that I didn't have a good time at the show, but it's definitely there's a serious component to writing there because you have to do a lot of like homework and research.
Yeah.
You have to like watch hours of C-SPAN and then break it down. I mean, I always tell people love The Daily Show because we sort of took all of this crazy news and like put it into these tiny digestible nuggets.
Yeah.
And John Stewart was like nobody better at that
yeah.
than him, who's just breaking things down to their sort of essence. But we had to absorb all the radiation to do that.
Like,
in other words, you know how much Fox News you have to watch to get those golden
Absolutely.
Nuggets? So that place, I think...
So that's interesting. I would have assumed... See, when I interned at a CBS affiliate in Hartford when I was in college, and I was like, this is great, I'm going to be doing... And all I did was watch a baseball game and log highlights.
Yep.
So didn't you have people
We did. I mean, but, you know, here's the thing. It's like, so one of the... I was the guy for a while. I mean, that's what I did for a lot. I was like the footage guy when I first started there, and I really sort of made my name there as the footage guy because that was the job I got. And I really walked into that place at 22 figuring like, look, 6 months in, these people are going to realize I'm funny as hell. And I want to be, you know, either on the show or
you'll
writer.
Be the next big thing.
Right. That did not occur, you know? and I had to really do every crappy job. And a lot of it became sort of this motivation. My motivation was like these Ivy League guys who were kind of, you know, made me feel sort of, you know, insignificant and all these things as writers. So I really became almost motivated by like vendetta to kind of get to that next level. But a lot of what I did on my way up was that, like just watching hours of footage and logging tapes.
I just would have figured you had interns doing that.
We have some interns do it, but you know, a lot of what you're looking for isn't, interns don't necessarily have an eye for it yet.
Yeah,
like there is a very specific thing you're looking for, and it's not to say they can't learn it, but you need people who are savvy enough to realize
have that comedic gene
and again the interns may have it, but the problem with interns is they come and go.
Can I ask you an extremely personal question?
Yeah.
But I think it's long enough. You got hired at Comedy Central 99. What were you making on the Daily Show?
Oh my god, at the Daily Show when I first started, probably $400 a week before.
And that's in New
taxes.
York. You're living with your folks.
I had to live with my folks. Yeah, I live with my parents for about
that doesn't even cover the
a year and a half.
The Long Island railroad.
Yeah, just about covered the railroad.
Gosh.
And I lived with my parents for about a year and a half, and then eventually moved into the city. But I also, when I moved into the city in like the year 2000, you could get. I mean, I got a place in the East Village before the East Village became cool.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, there was a rooster in my neighborhood because they were like cockfighting going on, you know?
Sure.
And so, like, a rooster used to wake us up every morning in this little, like, there's like these little empty spaces between the buildings that are now filled with like cafes and whatever.
Exactly.
But then it was, so, you know, I got a place in the city that was probably 400 square feet, but it was a two bedroom. So I split it with somebody and I think it was 1400. So we got a rent for 700 a month in Manhattan.
That's fantastic.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But we were all the way, if you know the city in Alphabet City, we were like in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, we got to live.
I didn't have to
live with my parents.
Which is always a... hang tight.
Yeah.
Can you stick around?
I'm happy to.
All right. Rory Albanese, he is at the Punchline this weekend. Two shows tomorrow night? Three? Six, eight, and 10?
Saturday, there's three shows.
6, 8, and 10.
Yes,
all right. Tickets online at punchline.com. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Friday edition of The Mark Arum Show.
Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Welcome back. Friday edition of The Mark Arum Show. Coming up later in the program, WSB political analyst Bill Crane will break down campaign 2016. You a political dude, Rory, on stage?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I cover, it's tough to not cover what's happening right now.
Yeah.
You know? And I do use the Daily Show mantra of I try to hit all sides, which people don't believe me that the Daily Show did that, but we did.
Yeah.
We were, I think, a lot more fair-minded than we got credit for. But yes, right now it's tough. It feels like it's hard not to mention politics.
Has that changed? So when you first started doing stand-up, were you is it different material? Obviously, it's different material. Huh?
Yeah.
Did the Daily Show, working at the Daily Show and the Nightly Show, impact your stand-up routine?
I think it impacted the way I know the Daily Show, without a doubt, impacted the way I write comedy. And
yeah.
I mean, I learned from Jon Stewart how to do it, you know? So I understand how to sort of break things down in a way that... you know, we would do at the Daily Show. But I think I have my own sort of style to it. You know, I get a little bit sillier than the Daily Show did. The Nightly Show, we got a lot more silly. Like, that was one of the things I really liked about the Nightly Show is we really broke into, like, really weird offbeat sketches to cover real things.
Yeah.
You know? But, I always like there to be some truth behind what I'm talking about. I think that comedy is a lot more powerful when there is. And right now, you know, with this election, it just feels like... It feels a little bit like... I'm just doing one last lap around America before it's gone. You know,
yeah, the America
it feels like
farewell
it's a last lap.
You know? Roy Albanese in studio is at the Punchline this weekend. Three shows tomorrow, 6, 8, and 10. Mm-hmm. Tickets available online at punchline.com. Can you hang out after news, weather, and traffic?
Yeah.
All right, news, weather, and traffic next. This is The Mark Arum Show.
22 years ago to keep it on track. I'm WSB's Herman Cain, and depend on this
whenever and wherever
there's breaking news,
severe weather alert,
or a traffic red alert. The WSB 24-hour breaking news center will tell you about it.
News 95.5 and AM 750.
WSB, depend on it.
Hey, this is Ray Liotta, and you're listening to the America, all the home of the red, the white, and the blue.
10:36, 24 in front of 11. Mark Arum with you till midnight every Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight here on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB, Friday edition. Thank you for allowing me to take time off for the high holidays. I went up and fasted, then ate some more with my parents for Yom Kippur, but I had to come back. Because I want to see Rory Albanese at the Punchline.
That was the right choice.
It was the right choice. Saturday, 6, 8, and 10 p.m. Tickets online at punchline.com. No pressure going head-to-head against this unknown comic named Schumer that's going to be at Phillips tomorrow night. Jamie Bendel from the Punchline. Jamie?
Yeah, you know, we often look at the big concerts that are coming into town. Actually, Roy Wood Jr. was here in town, who's a terrific
Black
comic.
Lewis Black, yeah.
Lewis Black, Maria Bamford.
As much competition as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's so really a murderer's row.
Yeah, exactly right.
Comedians.
Yeah. So, as I mentioned in the first segment, I refuse to go see a comedian in an arena. I just can't do it. I don't care who it is. The biggest setting I'll go is the Fox Theater. So I'm going to go see Rory as opposed to Amy Schumer because A, Rory's hilarious, and B, it's more intimate.
Well, if you'd allow just a moment, the common theme between all of those shows, Schumer, Black, Bamford, Roy, Rory, all Punchline.
Alum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All have stood basically on that stage at the Punchline.
As well.
Arum as well. Actually, very underrated. I wish you would come back and do more.
If I only worked one job, I would be there every night.
Yeah.
But I have nine jobs.
You know, 10
jobs.
O'clock is the new drive time.
10 o'clock is the new drive time.
I mean, it really is.
Indeed. I can come over for the 11 p.m. set on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Rory, we talked a lot about your time at The Daily Show and The Nightly Show. I got to ask you this. I don't know if you're still in touch with Jon Stewart.
Oh yeah.
Why the hell would he leave before this presidential cycle?
I mean, it's funny because it would have been helpful to The Nightly Show had he hung around a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think he was burnt, man. I mean, when I left The Daily Show, in 2013, I was tired. And I wasn't. I mean, you know, there's a bit of a difference. I mean, he's leaving. He's leaving very rich and a star. But it's exhausting. And I think he got to a point where he decided, you know what? I've got my kids. I've got my life outside of here. I've done this for 15 years. There was really no like secret motivation behind it.
I don't care.
Like, I just can't stomach another.
America
one,
needs you know? Him.
Yeah, it feels that way, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't understand. I understand the tired part, and I understand you've been doing the same thing for 15 years. But gosh darn it. I don't know where that came from. Gosh darn it.
I didn't know we were going to be cursing.
Yeah,
someone has to fast all over again now. You just atoned.
You're on the precipice of the most unbelievable campaign ever. I mean, no, you know, he couldn't see into the future and know that Trump would get the nomination.
I don't know. I mean, it feels, though, to me that, yes, it would be a big year for The Daily Show, no doubt, because of Trump. But I can see where John is probably at home saying, thank God, I'm not dealing with this every day, because there is a reality. I was saying before, like, it's this election to me feels like we're just choosing how we want to die, and right, and it feels like Trump is light yourself on fire, and Hillary is sleeping pills, and I'm like, I guess sleeping pills, I guess, you know, and
yeah.
There's something about it that is just killing like everybody.
It's apocalyptic.
There's an exhaustion, and I'm finding traveling around the country that the vibe you're getting from people in real life versus on the internet or from the media is very different.
Yeah.
Like most, I mean, I went to Arizona a few weeks ago. I came off the plane with like a lasso, like, let's get some Mexicans. You know what I mean? I just thought it was going to be like a Mexican roundup down there. And it wasn't. It was just nice people hanging out. Dude, and the food, I was telling everybody down there, I said, I might actually take one of these quesadillas and mail it to Trump with a note that says, are you sure? You know, all of them, because this food is too good, you know? And so there's a component to what we're seeing and being inundated with and what's really happening. And I think that when you're in the Daily Show seat, all you're hearing is the other stuff. You don't get to be around real people who are like, you know what? Actually, most people are pretty reasonable.
Pretty
most
normal.
People agree that, like, even whatever your stance on guns are, if walking into a Walmart with an AR-15 is kind of an a-hole move, you know, and unless it's Black Friday, in which case,
then you need
arm
it.
Yourself.
Well, it's weird because I mean, thankfully this is almost over. I mean, just thankfully.
But I don't know. Is
but
it?
Is it?
That's how I feel. Right?
Yeah. But
well,
is it?
The question is, what happens the day after November 9th? What happens?
And the day after that? And the day after that?
Like the problem with the Trump movement here is he lifted a rug that was covering sort of racism and hate. Like, we didn't solve that stuff. We buried it pretty deep.
Yeah.
And under this rug, and he came in and was like, hey, look, a rug. And he lifted it up, and everyone was like, yeah, you know, like, let's yell about black people. Like, so there's a component to it that, like, it's what's scary to me about it is it's awakened a group of people in this country that were there, but it's unified them in a way that
and it's given them a voice, and it's okay to say this stuff
now. And I understand that people are mad. They don't want to be overly, nobody wants to be overly politically corrected and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I get that notion of, like, you want to be able to say it and feel what you think, but there's a big difference between that and some of the stuff that's out there. And you know, so hopefully he'll go away and he'll do another TV show, but you know, there's a component to it that it's just feels good. And he could win, right?
I mean, it's possible.
He could win.
It's possible. Swing state votes. Jamie, what's the latest on the swing state polls?
I'm assuming it's swung back in a direction that it was different than yesterday.
And
it will probably continue to move again.
Yeah. I think Ohio is like with a 1-point margin.
Yeah, Ohio's.
Yeah, but again, from a personal perspective, and this obviously has nothing to do with any of the shows at the club this weekend, is I'm not a proponent of reject the system, right? At some point, consider being a voter. There's a lot of other things that are on the ballot that do impact you. It's not just there isn't just one line on it that says president. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of other stuff on there. There's always constitutional questions of one kind or another. And so whatever your lack of enthusiasm is about maybe the top line, there's other people below them that really need you to be registered, get out, and go vote.
Speaking of which, Jamie's running for Board of Education in what district?
Wherever there's an open seat.
You'd be a total Board of Ed guy. I could totally see you cleaning house on a Board of Education somewhere.
Yeah, you know, one of these days, Mark. One of these days.
Political aspirations.
Yeah, I love that it's cleaning house, too. He just gets in, he's like, I don't like what's going on.
I don't like this.
The first day.
Getting out of here. Yeah. Rory Albanese, Jamie Bendel in studio from The Punchline. Rory's on stage tomorrow night. Obviously a hilarious dude. You need to catch him. Tickets available online.
Punchline.com.
So, now you're on the road. The nightly show's over.
Yeah.
You left The Daily Show. Yeah. Now you are strictly a touring comic.
Yes.
Do you enjoy this life?
Yeah, it's all I ever wanted to be doing. You know, it really is the. It's funny because you realize at a certain point in your life, if you're not doing the thing you want to be doing, you're unhappy. Regardless of, I would say that my Daily Show experience was like dream adjacent. Like I was in the world of comedy that I wanted to be in, and I achieved some success there. I did, which was nice, but it was not the thing I wanted to be doing.
It's like being a AAA ball player for years.
Mm-hmm.
You get called up to the big leagues, and you're just sitting on the bench.
Yep.
How about that analogy?
Yeah, it was good. And so there's a I love being around people. I love talking to people directly. Stand up is like a very pure form of comedy.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for the numbers to come in or anything like that. It's just like, no, they didn't laugh at that one, so that one wasn't good, you know.
Was that what was, cuz I do
television here on the ABC affiliate every morning, and we get the numbers at 7 a.m. the next day.
Yeah.
So I see the automatic, you know, I get the numbers the next day. Was there a similar scene at the Daily Show and the Nightly Show where you guys huddled around?
We got weekly and weekly email that said, like, you know, here's how you did last week. And it gave you the shows around it, you know. So, yeah, I was monitoring that stuff. But my attitude with all that stuff from a production standpoint is all you can do, same with comedy, all you can do is put something good out there.
Yeah.
You can't control who's watching it. It's not really, you know, it's the same with comedy. It's like you just, most things that are good are discovered. If they're really good, people hear about them, word of mouth, people find them. So you have to just create something that's funny and try. And I think the big problem with the Nightly Show is it took us a little too long to get it to where it needed to be. And I think that in the end, you know, it was probably too little too late from a network standpoint.
What do you think of the Daily Show now?
For me to watch it. I love Trevor, and I think he's a great choice for it, but it's hard for me to watch it because I was there for so long that there's like a PTSD component.
Yeah,
I hear the theme, and I find myself like under a couch, like shivering, you know? But no, I think it's good. I mean, I think that the late night model that John Oliver and Sam B are doing is the new way to go.
Yeah.
I think, oddly, because of the internet, the Daily Show, what made it special in its prime was we had like a speed reaction to things. Something would occur and we would do it the next day on the show. And I remember at one point going, man, the SNL guys must be pissed because we're like, but now what they're doing at SNL seems more relevant again, because it's, you know, the best example I can give is at the Nightly Show, pretty close to when, before it was done, but we didn't know yet. It was this summer. We were in the rewrite room, meaning like Larry and I, we were rewriting the show and I went out to just, like, you know, get a drink of water, and the guy was suction cupping up Trump Tower on the TV.
Yeah.
And I said, I made like a one-off joke to one of the researchers there. I was like, what is he climbing up Michael Phelps' back? You know, because it was
those suction cups.
Stupid joke, but the kind of thing that the next night we would have done at the top of the show, because that night the show was kind of in the bag.
You already had it done.
So the next day would have been like, hey, welcome to the show. Hey, real quick, did you see this guy? Can we zoom out? And we would have done a mock-up joke, and it would have been Michael Phelps' back. I went back into the rewrite room after just saying that stupid thing. Opened Twitter on my phone.
It's already there.
100 people not only tweeted that, but the mock-ups were professional-grade mock-ups.
Exactly.
And the guy was still on the building. So it's like, how is an 18 to 34-year-old already not getting that joke?
Yeah.
And then going to tune in the next day to hear
old
man Wilmore say it? Like, it's not going to happen, you know?
Life's moving faster than the speed of comedy.
Right. So, but what Oliver's doing is processing things.
Yeah.
And same with Sam. It's like they're taking their time and, you know, to me, Oliver will reign king of that domain for quite some time because he's a genius. And Tim Carvell, who's his executive
producer. And it's one night a week.
Yep.
I mean, the Daily Show, the Nightly Show, that's a grind, man.
It's a grind.
That's why Jon Stewart said, I'm out after 50. If he was doing one show a week.
It's a real job.
Yeah.
It's a real job. And that's why I had to leave the Daily Show. Because if you want to do stand-up, I was working, even at the Nightly Show, I was there 9 to 9, and then I'd go down to the Comedy Cellar, you know? And so I was working 12 hours and then doing comedy to 1 in the morning, and then I'd wake up the next day and go back. So
bless,
I was just tired all the time.
Roy Albanese, professional writer, comedian, now doing stand-up full-time. You can see him at the Punchline this weekend, and I'll be there, so you can come share mozzarella sticks with me. Tickets available online.
Punchline.com.
All right. Hang tight.
Hey, kids.
Hang tight. One more quick segment, Roy, all right?
Sure.
All right. Stick around. This is the Mark Arum Show. My man, get a cup and put some change
inside your hand. Shake it down. Hold up. Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. If my train
goes off the track, pick it up. Welcome back to the Mark Arum Show. Finishing up with comedian Rory Albanese, formerly of The Daily Show, The Nightly Show, and this weekend only, Punchline Comedy Club, the new location in Buckhead. Roswell Road, Piedmont Road at the beautiful Landmark Diner. Tickets available online.
Punchline.com.
We have a game here on the Mark Arum Show, Rory. Right. It's called Who's in Your Phone?
Now, it's time for Who's in Your Phone?
Okay.
Pop open your phone. You don't have to call anybody.
Okay.
Find me someone's name in there that I would be blown away that you are... you theoretically could contact at the drop of a hat. Give me a famous person in your phone
right.
That would take my breath away.
I don't know if I'd have anyone here. Mario Batali, would he take your breath away?
Yeah, that's all right. Breath. How do you know Mario?
I know Mario from a charity event I did years ago in New York City, and we became instant friends because, like him, I like to drink and eat all the time. And he became a buddy of mine, and every now and then in New York City, I'll get a 11 o'clock text that says, come by, Babbo, and let's eat. I'm
nice.
Like, let's do it. Yeah. Good dude.
All right, so that's solid.
Yeah, I got some good people. You know,
said you had Schumer. You were texting with her.
Yeah, Schumer, I know.
You have Stewart's number in there?
John Stewart, yeah. But that's not even fair. I have to have his number.
Well, no, you don't have to.
Well, because he was the producer of The Nightly Show. I talked to John a fair amount.
I don't have Sean Hannity's number. I can't text him. So.
You know what? I wish you did, because I would love to text Sean Hannity. Then you could have finally... Remember Trump was going, ask Sean Hannity?
Sean Hannity.
Like, you could have actually
I do
asked.
Have his private email address.
Oh, you see, I would have asked him if I could. I'm trying to think. You know who's John Hamm. I have John
Hamm. Wow.
That's a good one.
John, the well-endowed John Hamm, apparently.
The well-hung and handsome John. That's one of those things with John Hamm. You're like, really? And you have a big penis? Really?
It's not fair.
That's just not fair.
Life is not fair. All right, so Batali, Hamm.
Pretty good.
John Stewart.
Those are good.
What's her name? Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else from Long Island?
Dave Attell.
That's big. I love Dave
Attell.
Yeah,
me too. Dave and Amy and I are all from the same hometown.
That's amazing.
Dave Attell's father was the president of my synagogue when I was bar mitzvah.
No kidding?
Yeah. He was the president. In my bar mitzvah pictures, Harold Attell is standing next
That's
to me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Now, if you had grown up in Oceanside with the smell, you never would have been as
never
successful as you.
Yeah.
My grandmother lived in Oceanside, and the landfill, awful.
Yeah.
Just awful. And Massapequa, no one's funny from Massapequa, so.
Oh, so isn't Seinfeld from Massapequa?
Yeah, well.
One guy's fine.
One guy.
And Alec Baldwin. So two guys.
All right, two guys are fine. But
the other Baldwin brothers. Not so funny.
Yeah. All right, Rory, obviously we're going to go see at the Punchline. If folks want to learn more about you, follow you on the social media, where can we get more Albanese?
I'm on the Twitter, and I'm on Instagram. It's all at Rory Albanese. I'm on Facebook. You know, I have all the standards. I'm on Snapchat. Snapchat, though, is...
I haven't jumped down there yet.
I wouldn't hold your breath on my Snapchat. Yeah.
All right, very cool. Rory, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Go check them out at the Punchline, please. News, weather, and traffic coming up. And then WSB political analyst Bill Crane will join us on Campaign 2016. Stick around the Friday edition of The Mark Arum Show. And leave you with not much to